How to cure a columnist. In a properly run country, journalists would have to wear a mark of shame sewn onto their clothing. But he didn't really mean it. Sadie had taken on Peter Quint as one of her projects. The master may have loathed him, but his wife was tougher and understood how useful a reliable voice in a mainstream newspaper could be. Now Peter had come to her with his agonizing personal problem. If anyone could help him, then Sadie, with her contacts in the land of alternative therapies, was surely the girl. Peter Quint oozed. That was the word he used himself because it was unavoidable. The problem had started not long after he had signed his first £500,000 contract for a twice-weekly column and been profiled on Andrew Neil's politics show. He had always had lustrous hair, which needed to be vigorously washed every morning. Now he found that by lunchtime it was exuding a thick, sebaceous secretion, visible and itchy. His hands had always been sweaty. Now a sticky, greenish oil which smelt of cabbage began to accumulate between his fingers and in his palms. His feet pawed. He knew that he gave off a ripe scent. He knew it because that was why his girlfriend had left him. At times, when he'd been standing in the same spot for a long while, at a party, for instance, he felt there was almost a patch of something. Could it be slime on the floor around him? Sadie sent him to Harley Street, to a physician specializing in skin complaints who had helped the master in the past. He professed himself disgusted and baffled. Half a dozen bottles of rattling pills left Peter constipated and unable to sleep, but as slimy as ever. Sadie sent him to the in-town clinic for cold saltwater baths and scourging with twigs. This refreshed, and indeed excited, Peter, but did not solve the problem. She had him fitted with lightweight, breathable shirts and suits. Peter wore them out as if they were cling film. Shortly before the ministerial reshuffle, Sadie had ordered Peter to sell David Petrie and buy Caroline Phillips, an agonizingly difficult transition which he would have agreed to for nobody else. Thus it was that Peter found himself in Barker to do a soft interview with Caroline and Angela. He was still on uneasy terms with Mrs. Phillips. She was, not unnaturally, suspicious. But he found himself almost falling for the sharp-featured, dark-eyed vicar, to such an extent that he couldn't help raising the subject of his miserable complaint. Angela was undisgusted and forthright. "It's a spiritual matter, Mr. Quint, not a physical one. Nobody in Harley Street or any of the teaching hospitals can help you with this. Let's be straight about it. You ooze. What do you ooze?"
"I'm told it might be a secretion linked to the regulation of body heat."
"Nonsense. It's slime." "What else is slimy, Mr. Quint?"
"I don't know.
The seashore?" "I was thinking more of toads. The truth is, Mr. Quint, that you are a bit of a slimy toad. I'm sorry to be blunt. I know it's hard to accept." Peter looked sadly at the carpet. Already a dark stain was appearing around the stitching of his recently bought brogues.
"That's a terrible thing to say."
"It is a terrible thing to be. Have you any idea what causes it?"
Caro was shaking her head and making lip-zipping gestures at Angela, but the conversation had gone too far to be cut off. And oddly, Peter Quint seemed not angry but dolefully grateful.
"No, I don't." "What causes it is self-importance mingled with hypocrisy. It's a toxic mix, Mr. Quint. You have been wallowing in these vices for decades, I suspect."
"Well, since 1985, at least. That's when I got my first big column."
"But what can I do about it?" You must rid yourself of the illusion that a newspaper columnist in a small country like this one in the second decade of the 21st century is a person of importance. You are not important. You have never been elected to do anything. You have never created a business. You have never come up with a single fresh idea, and you have never helped your fellow man in any way. Yet, you regard yourself as a significant figure.
This is unacceptably painful.
Most useful therapies are. The second thing is that you must start to say only what you actually mean and write only what you think is true.
That's my career gone, then. You can't ask me to do that. It's not what I've been trained to do.
Perhaps not. But there are plenty of useful jobs that need doing all around this country. Why don't you come with me into our little church and get down on your knees and think about it?
Peter Quint, for the first time in the conversation, straightened his back, puffed out his chest, and began to sound like his usual self. I'm not a spiritual person, I'm afraid, Angela. I have firmly agnostic views based on wide reading and a detestation of religious mania.
I'm not asking you to prostrate yourself before your Redeemer, though it wouldn't hurt. I'm just asking you to spend 20 minutes on your knees contemplating your life so far. That isn't long, and it won't cost you anything.
Peter Quint did as he was told, and for the first time in his life, he failed to file his copy. The interview never happened. Or rather, it had happened, but the wrong way round.
Bath Time Talk.